Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And with us today are two guys that have been working on a project that is just going to change, I just think, a lot about who we are as a community. It's called Miracle Park. Two of the three brainchilds behind this are here. David Williams and Warren Norman. I'm not sure I'm going to get through the show because these guys were cracking some jokes at the beginning. Is it true you two guys were roommates? Is that right? In college?
That is true.
It is true.
That is true.
How did you manage to graduate?
That's a good question.
It took him a little bit longer than it took me.
That is true.
But that's just because I went to a lot of summer school.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, we were... Our parents lived in apartments together when we were born, so we goes way
is that right?
Back to college.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that.
Northwoods or whatever. What is it called
North,
now?
Northwood. They changed the name. I don't know, but it's that is true. We got pictures of us in the crib together, and then we were best friends through elementary school.
Yep, all
middle
long
school,
way.
High school. We were roommates in college. So,
oh my gosh,
we got a lot of dirt on each other.
Yeah.
Who wants to be the first to tell me?
We're not on that. We're not going to have that.
It's
one.
It's off limits.
Yeah. We'll keep that where it is for now. On to Miracle Park, buddy.
Or we're leaving, right? Okay. So, true or false? The first concept or thought about this thing called Miracle Park came when you guys were, out on a Friday night or something, having a beer or some pizza or whatever? Is that true?
That's a good guess.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, that is.
It's definitely true, and David was the one that brought it up, and I was a special ed major in college along with the third person, that David's sister, Alice Davis, who was part of the original as well. I think he talked to Alice and then came and approached me and was like, hey, we need to do a miracle field. That's how it started.
And here, what was that, 5 years ago?
It was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. My nephew, I've told this story a lot, but my nephew played in one in Greenville. He's in a wheelchair. He'll be here tomorrow, actually. He's going to throw out the pitch tomorrow at the field. And he showed me, like, he was playing out there instead of having just sitting there in his wheelchair. He was able to get around the field and all that. And I was like, hey, everybody should be able to do this. And, I mean, if Greenville has it or Simpsonville, Rock Hill definitely needs one. And about that same time, both of my boys played baseball, and one of the coaches at Rock Hill High brought it up too. So then I was like, well, let's figure out how to make this happen. And I said, I know I can't make it happen, but I know somebody I think can help make it happen. So then I wrote him in, and the rest is history.
So how many conversations would you guess took place from that initial one having a beer to the point where, okay, let's take a piece of paper here and see what we're talking about?
The Millstone meeting was where we really kicked it off. So we had we cobbled together a group of people. John Geddes was part of that, and this was prior to him being mayor. So he was on city council at the time, obviously. But we brought John in. I believe Sig Hewitt was at that meeting. And after we had talked and said, all right, we found the site that we liked, we got a group together that started with John and said, this is what we want to do. Let's start penciling this out and figuring out how we're going to actually make it happen. And that meeting is where it went from just talk around a concept. We had done some behind the scenes work on where we thought it would be good and looked at and found that property. And then at that point we had that meeting to say, hey, this is something we want to do. Let's make it happen.
So the site that you have, which is diagonally across from the Coliseum, were there other sites that you had considered or looked at, or was just that the one you thought from day one would be the right place?
That was one of the most unique things about this is, my kids had practiced out there at the old Winthrop Field out there forever. It was called Winthrop Park.
Right.
And And they had practiced out there forever, and we knew kind of a little bit about the history of that site, with Winthrop owning half of it and the city owning half of it. So, I mean, we met Mark Sexton out there one day and with the city, and just looked at it and was like, yeah, I mean, we'll figure out how to make this work. Yeah, I don't think we looked anywhere else, did we?
I don't think so. We may have. I think we Google Earthed it and tried to, and it, that thing stuck out like a sore thumb. And I think, you know, we brought up the fact that it seemed like a perfect fit due to the fact that at that time, if you all remember how it was a field that had gravel, you know, access to it. And then it had more land that was like perfectly situated for another field. And so that's why it was a perfect fit, and it needed infrastructure improvements anyway. I mean, it was one of the only fields that didn't have pavement. And so that's how the conversation started with the city. Can't remember if that was probably post that meeting at Millstone where we said, all right, let's focus on this piece. And at that time, it was only to build a miracle field. That was right. The only thing we had anticipated doing. And, of course, it grew substantially.
Yeah. So you got some kind of an indication from the city that this was a good idea. And they might want to, go along with it as far as their property. So at that point, you looked at the other piece and said, if we put the two of them together, maybe we can make this thing more than a field.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything Rock Hill does, we do it right, and we do it big. And we sort of started looking at it and seeing what else was out there. And we knew a playground with accessibility was something that they have a place at Myrtle Beach called Savannah's Playground. And that would I can't remember where that came from. There's so many people to thank and so many people that brought ideas. I mean, we could sit here all day talking about that.
Sure.
So we saw that playground, and then we ended up talking to PRT about that. They were interested, and so Warren and I and John Taylor and Mark Sexton went up to Minneapolis and toured the different playgrounds that were up there, because that's where the a couple of manufacturers are, and just saw what it could be and some use cases of people in wheelchairs and with other special abilities out there, you know, playing on the slides or doing the swings or whatever it may be.
So is that kind of where the ideas went from field to park?
Yeah, and we figured out through meeting with the Miracle League folks, which is why we went to Minnesota, that there wasn't anywhere. I think at that time there was under construction. There were two Miracle fields under construction in Houston, I believe. But there weren't. Then there was somewhere in Iowa or somewhere was in the middle of nowhere that had two Miracle fields as well. But there was nowhere in the U.S. or anywhere in, I guess, the world, but that had multiple Miracle fields, and that was a full-fledged park that had all the different aspects. And so it was a need from Miracle League standpoint to host tournaments, and from Special Olympics standpoint to host tournaments where you have multiple fields. So that's where it grew from one field to two. And then we were like, well, we should incorporate a playground. And then we figured out other fields and things we could do on the property as well, which is now what we're focused on for phase two. That and it also, given its location in town and its proximity to Charlotte and an airport, everything kind of melded together to say this could be a good economic driver for the city as well. And so that's how things snowball from one field to two fields to a park. And, of course, the Winthrop-owned property became a big piece of that when we approached Dr. Mahoney at the time about, is this something that you guys would be interested in leasing to us? And of course they were, and Dr. Mahoney deserves a lot of credit. He's not here anymore, but he was instrumental in helping get the board. I mean, the board was fully supportive as well, but you know, he was really the driving force behind Winthrop's participation from a land standpoint to allow us to utilize their land to build the rest of it. And that's important, because while the city property was great, you know, the corner piece is in. Look at the sign out there now. You know, that's due to Winthrop's participation in that.
Right. We could do another show that would probably last the whole day, just talking about how much fun it was to get approval from the state of South Carolina.
Yes, we could.
To use that piece of land, but it's done. That was good.
Well, it was. I mean, we're blessed to have people down there from this area that can help us, you know, get these kind of things across the finish line. I mean, Gary Simrell, I mean, I wasn't going to name names because there's so many to name, but, I mean, he was instrumental in in helping us get this done, and then also helping us with getting some funding as well.
So,
But all those local guys down there are really good and can help when need be, and they definitely helped us get over the finish line.
You know, one of the most unique things about this is not only did the city allow you to use the land, but then I don't know whether it was hard to convince PRT or the city to say, we want you to program this thing and run it. I mean, how'd that come about?
Yeah, without that, it would have been a lot harder to really do this, frankly. I mean, you know, we've, as a foundation and our group has, you know, played lead on getting this built, with PRT being having a seat at the table as well. But now that the park opens tomorrow, you know, we, without PRT and their ability to run this and having already staff and a process in place to be able to really take it from there and run it effectively and run the leagues. I'm not going to say we wouldn't have done it, but it certainly would have been a lot more challenging operationally moving forward, because my opinion, Rock Hills PRT is the best in the business. I just don't know that there's anybody that holds a candle to them. They really are good. And so from that standpoint, having not only them there to do it, but knowing that they do it so well.
Oh, yes.
Well, and even, I mean, when we were raising money, I mean, we're really good salespeople, but being able to say PRT, a lot of people want to know, like, you build some nice new shiny building or whatever it is, people want to know, well, how are you gonna program that? So before people would give money, when they heard PRT is going to be the one running it, they were like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they wanted to be involved, but that was a question that we heard from most of our big donors, like, who's going to run this? How are we going to make sure it's being used, programmed, all that kind of stuff? So, yeah.
Well, as you well know, it takes a lot of money to put something like this together. I'm sure your original estimates on cost have changed somewhat due to, of course, supply chain.
Supply chain because of COVID.
But, I mean, as it looks, I mean, this is, what, a $6 or $7, $8 million venture when it's all said and done?
Yeah, it'll be north of $8 million at the end of the day. Phase one is right at $6 million, and that's not counting the land that was donated. So it's a $6 million phase one project. It's coming in right at that. And so we've been very – I mean, the community, you can't say enough about Rock Hill and the people in this community that stepped up to the plate, and that companies, individuals – that just donated to this in a big way. I mean, we weren't in there asking for $1,000. I mean, we were asking for big numbers, and that was the only way we were going to get it done. I mean, we were talking about Ann Close earlier, and, you know, she, I remember we sat down with her and had a great meeting. I didn't think she was listening, and and then she nailed me with a couple of very specific questions, and I was like, oh, she's listening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's like, so, Warren, you contradicted yourself. Yeah. How much is this park going to cost? Yeah. $6 million or $8
million? Right. It was funny. Sig still likes to tell that story and laugh about it. But, I mean, everybody, you know, just stepped up and really it's been really neat to see, you know, sitting down with local people that you know personally and them donate and then, you know, take it from there. It's just an idea and a conversation behind the scenes with people that were committed to it, to then what we had a couple of months ago with David and Nicole Tepper and the Panthers, and kind of surreal to move from that. Know they're part of the community now, but obviously they're you know, more of a national organization, clearly, and to see it go from one end of the spectrum to the other has been really, really cool. Really
well, nice. You anticipate my next question. How did you orchestrate that rather a significant gift from not only the Carolina Panthers, but also from David and Nicole Tepper?
That was,
well,
David.
I mean, we. I'll say probably credit to Riley Fields and Stephen Drummond with them. We just kept calling and kept talking and kept. Nicole came down, I guess, about 2 years ago now, with some of those guys that I just mentioned to look at the park. So we walked around and showed her what it was, and I think that she felt, and they all felt, like Rock Hill. They felt the heart of Rock Hill. I mean, we say we have a heart for Miracle Park, but they felt the heart of Rock Hill and saw all the people that were involved, and not just the people that gave a big amount of money, but my sister Alice talks about all the time how many people have given money. I mean, it's I don't want to say the number because it's wrong, but I mean, $100 to some people is a lot of money, and that goes a long way, you know, for them. And but they want to donate. They want to be a part of it. And so I think both of those things combined really showed the Panthers and the Tuffers, like, who we are as a community, and they want to be involved with it. And, I mean, we may get into this later, but what their portion of this part is going to look like in this next phase is going to be really cool.
Awesome.
That's going to be the second half of the show,
which
is the cue that we're going to take our mid-program break.
You're welcome. I teed that up for you.
Thank you very much. And remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Jared Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Corporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, we've got some seasoned veterans of Straight Talk. They know all about how this thing works. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. The magical formula at the count of three in the white letters. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Never sounded better. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410-6.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in at locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Comporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Comporium. Connect your whole home.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. David Williams and Warren Norman, two of the three kingpins of the new Miracle Park, which officially opens tomorrow. Alice Davis, the third part of this. And I know, and I don't want to lose this, you've got a central committee that's worked their tails off on this thing. And you want to throw out some names? I know you're reluctant to do that, but what the heck?
Yeah, well, I think that Sig Hewitt's been a big part of what we've done. We've had an executive committee, for lack of a better name, that also includes Kennedy Christopher from Comporium, and she's also president of the York County Board of Disabilities. And then Kylie Carroll is our executive director. And, I mean, we've had a lot of this that has felt pretty divine along the way. And her coming to us at that time and being our executive director, I think, is definitely one of those. She's been great. She's learned, I mean, she's done a lot of the construction part, working with Warren. And, I mean, it's a hard job to keep Warren accountable to all that he has to do. And so her and Alice together stay on Warren to make sure he does what he needs to do. And now Warren stays on Jack to make sure he does what he needs
right,
to do.
Right.
Leitner, and Jack Leitner's been a big part of that, too. And they're actually have, you know, done the construction on the park. So I feel like I missed somebody.
No, I think you know, it's everybody. There's been so many people in addition to that group that have, you know, Freddie Fairclough on the board. And he's fantastic. I mean, we've had so much help from so many people. But David's right. We interviewed midway through the process of this because we knew it was a big project and we needed a point person to handle everything and, like David said, keep me in check. So Kylie has been fantastic. She was the perfect fit. She's very passionate about, you know, special needs population and in her, you know, both in her family and just what she does. But she's also been a big part of keeping everybody on track and keeping this thing going. So,
but you know, you've had John Taylor, PRTP,
absolutely. Was. You've, as you said, hundreds of people who have donated financially to this thing, but you've had, Lord knows how many subcontractors that have done things like grading and building. I mean, it's just amazing the people who have stepped forward to do this thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They came out there, and all the sponsors will be up there. But, I mean, just did way more than we could ever imagine. Cleared trees for nothing. Did a lot of the grading work. Did the moving dirt. I mean, it on and on and on. And it's just, and the thing is, I mean, anytime nobody's told us no. Like in a day and time where so many people are divided on anything, not many people don't get behind, you know, building a park that everyone can use regardless of their abilities, right? So, and if somebody tried to tell us no to that, then we tell them, you know, why they shouldn't tell us no.
Right.
And, but nobody has. Everybody's just like, yeah, how can I help? How can I help? It's been amazing.
As I've said before on whenever, I don't think anything will say more about who we are as a community than Miracle Park. I love what's going on downtown with the revitalization. Great. Wonderful. I love what's going on with all this development, what you're doing up here on the corner. All great. But nothing says more about our value system as a community than Miracle Park. Because, I mean, it touches everybody's heart.
Yep.
Everybody. Okay. With that being said, I couldn't let this show pass without talking about the Magnolias. Because I'm sure part of the discussion as you talked to Winthrop and to the city was those beautiful magnolias. You better not touch those magnolias.
Correct. That is true. That was early on in the process. Originally, when we were looking at getting the land, it was, hey, the magnolias got to stay. And frankly, we agreed. I mean, that's a great buffer along Cherry Road. And but, you know, as we designed the park, there was a big red mark around those magnolias throughout the whole site planning process with our engineers and transferring to our building team and our grading team. We were like, all right, we can't touch these, so we put an extra fence up just to make sure that a rogue bulldozer didn't accidentally take one out. So it was, and they remain there, and they're still there, and they're a great buffer. So we've achieved.
And I'm still not even sure like where that comes from. It's like this, it's just gotten passed down through the ages. So there's somebody out there that's going to really be upset if those magnolias get touched.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about phase two, which is what you're focusing in on now. Phase one is what's going to be opening up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And where do you see it? I mean, as you say, it's a park for everybody. No matter what your abilities are, it's there, and you're going to love it. What's phase two going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so phase two is going to be the additional Miracle Field. So currently phase one houses the Miracle Field that's there and built. It houses the existing Winthrop baseball field that's a regular baseball field. The full playground was built and completed as part of phase one. And what we call our donor area, which is your bathrooms, your concessions, all that is completed as part of phase one. Phase two will consist of the second Miracle Field. And we also got a lot of the infrastructure in, which is underground and a lot of people don't see, but that's expensive. So a lot of our prep work is done to be able to roll into phase two a little more efficiently than we did for phase one, which is huge. But the second Miracle Field, what we call a multi-purpose field, which is going to be able to house soccer, football, And then we did have two multi-purpose fields, and we've changed. We've eliminated the second multi-purpose field. We're doing a challenge course that will be directly related to the Panthers that David was mentioning earlier. And then my favorite part of the whole project, which is the building that's going to be on the corner. And so it'll be about a 8 to 10,000 square foot building with a huge patio that overlooks the obstacle course or the challenge course. And all of these, so the challenge course will be designed specific. It'll be a specifically designed challenge course. We got the renderings back that I'll let David talk about. It's awesome, but it's specifically designed towards special needs population as well that allows for special needs and regular kids to play on it together. So, but my favorite part's the building. We want to get some type of cafe in there. We're not sure exactly what we're going to put in there, but it'll be retail stores and cafes that are in there that, again, are all specifically designed around businesses that will be run or will serve the special needs population. And it's going to be really cool. That part, I can't wait to get completed. Tell them about the obstacle course.
The challenge course. So you see some of these, you hear about places the NFL has and some of that kind of stuff. But a challenge course has stuff like potentially 40-yard dash, but that also could be done if you're in a wheelchair at this course, and an obstacle course, and maybe picture how the Panthers run out of the tunnel with the smoke. Maybe there's a tunnel of sorts where kids, when they come out through it, the smoke goes off. And so we're really excited, and the Panthers are really excited, and the people, the Cunningham group that we're working with on it, all that build it, all really excited about that. We're also phase two is also going to include a golf area. So
yeah,
we're not 100% sure what that looks like right now, but probably some type of miniature golf kind of course that is accessible for anybody to play. So we won't be able to do the putt-putt orange rails out there, but
why not?
So where they can get, everybody can get everywhere they need to go, and then hopefully also some type of golf simulator as well. So, I mean, it's really that's gonna be great.
So the challenge course is where the Panthers donation is going to be going to,
yes,
and the Tepper's donation.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
That's amazing. Now, is there not also going to be kind of a walking trail or something around the perimeter of this course?
Definitely, yeah. There's the walking trails are throughout the entire park, so we're very intentional about paving the walking trails and putting the concrete all around throughout the park, and the pond that's there, it'll take a little time to get the pond, the detention pond that will serve also as a fishing pond, so that'll take a little time, obviously, but that's the goal there, is to have that as an amenity. It's a needed item from stormwater standpoint, but it's also we're going to turn it into an amenity as well.
Is there a phase three, or is it phase two?
There used to be a phase three, which was the building, but given our success on fundraising, we're just going to roll in and do the whole phase two as one whole phase.
So how much more are you going to need to do this? I mean, you've raised, what, $6 million or $6.5 million, whatever it is? How much more are you going to need to pull this all together?
Yeah, the whole thing's looking like around a $9 million project, so we need another $2.5 million to raise to be able to complete the whole project.
Are you trying to get grant funding for this?
We are, yeah. We've worked with the city some on that and some others, and we have gotten a little bit of that, and we'll get more probably from a programming perspective. So, but we'll also be accepting donations from 4 to 7 tomorrow at the park.
That's right. We got about 30 seconds left. Yeah. What's going to happen tomorrow?
We're going to have fun. We're going to play.
Yeah.
It starts at 4 o'clock.
Grand opening at 4 o'clock. Please come out and check out, what's going on. If you haven't been by there, it's, it's right on Cherry Road. You can look up MiracleParkRockHill.com and find out all about it. But it's going to be great to see all this work that everybody's put into this actually get open and operating and have it open to the public.
And we have sponsor tents out there, too, that'll be set up, and hot dogs, all kind of good stuff.
Well, thank you to David Williams, Warren Norman, Alice Davis, and the community for making this thing happen. Miracle Park, it becomes reality tomorrow, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Be there or be square. How about that, huh? All right.
Thanks,
that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, you guys did so well the first time. We're going to try it again the second time, which is to tell everybody what we do here 6 days a week from 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. at Substation 2. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. Dr. Scott Oliver is joining us right now because he comes every day to do this. Are we ready? It's 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Everybody's got it. Have a wonderful Miracle Park weekend. We'll see you on high school football tonight at 6 o'clock.